from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network all over the world via our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Pick up the podcast, all updated, all there. Website, not so much updated, but it will be. You know, I'm a one-man show with the help of course, our good friend Nathan running the board here. And it's been a little bit for us, too. A little bit of hiatus with us, a couple of best-of shows and with the Labor Day weekend and everything. So thanks so much, everybody, for sticking around and catching up on the podcast. Want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Make sure to check out their auctions and all their new stock and their daily arrival of new things, man. Lots of good stuff on the website, notjustguns.com. Also want to thank our friends at Conquest Sense. New information which you will hear first coming from them. New products coming here for 2022. ConquestSense.com. Again, all links on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And we're going to kick off the show with Chad Stewart from the Michigan DNR joining us. Chad, it's only been a couple of months since you were on here last, but welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Oh, thanks for having me again, Duran.
It's always good having you here, man, because we always get great information from you guys at the Michigan DNR. And one of the things that we actually, this is so much fun to say, we literally broke this story ahead of the news agencies and press releases and everything else. And it was about the mandatory, and I'm using that word not as an authoritarian way of speaking, but it's about time we have a mandatory deer check. But let's talk about how easy this is going to be, because I've downloaded the app from the Michigan DNR, which is so much easier than the old website even was. But first, Chad, I want to talk about this mandatory deer check, and it's going to help us all, okay, all participants. So don't get your damn feathers in a ruffle because you got to do something different. Okay, I'm saying that. This is me, Duran Martinez, the host guy, saying this. And Chad, you will be the voice of reason and tell us why this is a good idea.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Duran. So we're actually really excited about this because it's going to give us a lot more information. And it's going to give us a lot more information sooner. So, you know, I hope, you know, if there's one sort of common thread that listeners have, whether they're for, you know, this online reporting piece or against it, you know, I'm hoping that there's a common thread that everybody wants the best decisions made for the deer herd, the deer resource, using the best available information that we have. You know, I think as any sportsman, conservationist, you know, whatever you want to label yourself as, you know, you want the best decisions to be made using the best available data that we can have. And we think that we're going to get that by going to this system. So the reason for that is the way that we've always estimated our harvest, our take before was through a postseason harvest survey, goes out to about a little over 10% of the hunters. And it's great because it gives you confidence intervals. It gives you sort of like a statistical way to estimate some of those changes that you see in trends and data over time. But what we've seen is that response rates have declined from about over 70% in 2000s to less than 40% last year. And what that does is it increases the level of uncertainty with our estimates. So we can still get an estimate in terms of total harvest, total, you know, antler deer in this county and antlerless deer in that county. But when we talk about statistics and confidence intervals, the range increases. So that means your level of uncertainty increases. So that means the number that you put out there still might be a very good number, very might be right, but there's an increased chance that it's also further away from that number. So with this new system, we're requiring everybody that harvests a deer to report their deer. And we know that not 100% of the people are going to report their deer, but getting an estimate from what hunters are providing us in season and then applying like a small correction, again, considering the surveys and pieces afterward will give us a really much more accurate estimate of what the harvest is, you know, to make our recommendations off of compared to the old system that we've had.
Chad Stewart of the Michigan DNR joining us here. We're talking about the new mandatory deer check-in that will happen in the 2022 white-tailed deer season throughout the course of, late September into January. You know, with technology and advancements, things of that nature, we know there's going to be roadblocks. There's going to be hesitation, and this is where our younger people. I've always, you know, appealed to younger people, and said, look, you need to get out in the Michigan woods and water, go hunting and fishing. Have the older folks take you and teach you about the outdoors and what it has to offer. This is where, in turn, we need to, as young people, younger than I, need to help the older generation get through this with phones, apps, smartphones, things of the like, or even computers. Because what is easy to a 6-year-old is like difficult to a 50-year-old. You know, and in the end, we all benefit from this, especially with more accurate counts.
Yeah, and one of the things that, so we recognize that there are going to be individuals who are, I don't know what the right phrase is, technologically limited, in terms of their ability to report their harvest. Because right now the options are to go on a website and report it, or like you said, download the app and you can report it there, and everything's tied to your license that you purchase, which is really fantastic, and it's easy to keep everything together and much better than it has in the previous system. But you're right, and we struggled with that too in terms of making more options available to folks. But what we did was we talked to a lot of other states that have this mandatory reporting, and a lot of those states have telephone call-in options available for their hunters. But the more we sort of dug in and had those conversations with other states, a lot of those other states, I won't say all of them, but a lot of those other states want to go to the system that we are going to, an online app and a website service, and they want to get rid of the phone. But the problem is they've had their reporting system for so long, and a lot of times the phone system preceded the online system. It's almost been like sort of grandfathered in, and becoming a custom, and it's a high expense for the agency. Every agency has sort of declining budgets with hunter numbers declining across the country. But this is something that they want to go forward with and try to consolidate. And they think that that's sort of the future, especially as self-service technology, you know, more people with smartphones, you know, continues to increase over time. So we're trying to get ahead of the curve and not be bound by some of those other states that are using sort of what I'll call almost at this point outdated technology. So we're looking for an eye in the future. And honestly, since we've proposed this, we've had several states very interested in sort of asking about our process and wanting to make sure that, like, are very interested to see how it turns out for us, because if it is successful, I think they're going to go that way.
Yeah, I think it, you know, like we talked about off air, this is going to, I mean, there's always going to be people that just resist. I'm not doing it. That was done beforehand, even when check-ins were not mandatory, you know. But I really think overall this is a great idea, something that has come along in the right time, that I don't think sooner would have been better. And I know way back when we had fee increases for licensing, that there was a lot of pushback on that. A lot of people complaining, I'm just not going to buy a license. I'll take my chances, yada, yada, yada. I understand it could have been done incrementally over time because it was one big push at one time. But you're not going to change it. So accept it, do the right thing legally, and everybody benefits, or take your chances and get nailed, lose your privileges and a lot of money. So Chad Stewart is our guest, Michigan DNR. Chad, sorry about that. We're going to talk. We got a whole other segment coming your way. We're going to talk with Chad on the Conquest Sense Hotline. We're going to maybe, give a little love out to our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street 127 in Mason, all visible on our website, wildmichiganradio.com.
I want to finish and then go to be able to, and have my parents couldn't have. I'll even make, because I know it's the best thing I can do for my... I want to finish
school
and then go to
college
to be able to
graduate
and have
the future
my parents couldn't have. I'll even make
sacrifices
because I know that
going to college
is the best thing I can do for my
future.
It takes the words of a parent to build the future of a child. The Hispanic Scholarship Fund has the tools and information to help your kids go to college. It's free and it's available in Spanish. Remember, their tomorrow depends on your words today. Visit yourwordstoday.org or call 1-877-HSF-8711. Sponsored by the Hispanic Scholarship Fund and the Ad Council.
Hi, Margaret. It's Angie. I brought dinner today.
This is the sound of help.
Okay, everyone, story time.
The sound of strengthening communities.
Well, this new insulation really going to save you on utility bills.
The sound of changing lives. Michigan Community Action is a network of agencies helping people achieve greater financial and personal independence through programs such as Head Start Preschools, weatherization, food distribution, and utility assistance. The programs supported by Michigan Community Action benefit people all over the state. Maybe you've just lost your job and are having trouble making ends meet. Or maybe you're retired and Social Security isn't enough. Whatever your situation, we may be able to help. Visit miaction.org or call 888-75-ACTION to find out more. Helping people. Changing lives. Sponsored by Michigan Community Action and Michigan Broadcasters.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Teen Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. it's just, I think after a little time off from last week for Labor Day, the weekend, I'm a little out of sorts, kind of like my producer, Nathan. We're just a couple of guys trying to, work our way through this, but we're happy to do it. Very happy to have our friends at Conquest Sense joining us here. Look for Evercom, look for VS1, get it now online, just because it's going to go fast. It's definitely the best product out there. Sense and a stick, and they are giving you some love from our show, as they have given us lots of love here. Chad Stewart, Michigan DNR, is joining us right now. We were talking about the new mandatory deer check. Now, you can do it online, which is fantastic. The app, which is a great, great tool to have if you're a little savvy with your smartphone, if you work with an older person, you hunt with an older person, by all means, help them out. Okay, they've helped you get to where you're at in the outdoors lifestyle. Help them so we can all benefit from this, not only now, but in the long run. And Chad, we have seen, in my estimation, we have seen deer numbers, I have visibly seen them, probably like never before, man. This has been, the past few years especially, have been crazy good for antler growth. This year, it looks like we're going to be on the same schedule with the cold, wet spring, the hot days of summer when the antler growth was really getting going, and to what we have now. So we're going to be looking for bigger bucks, but overall, how are we looking for deer numbers in the state?
Yeah, deer numbers, I think, throughout most of the state are going to be really good and certainly on par with last year, if not a little bit better. And I've been sort of talking about this for a couple of years that, with hunter numbers declining, and this was a big story a couple of years ago, we've lost over 200,000 hunters in Michigan since the 2000s. When we have fewer hunters, deer are going to continue to do what deer do and,
sure,
and breed and populations try to grow. We're going to continue to see, high levels of deer numbers in certain places. And with fewer hunters, we're going to start seeing an older age class of bucks start to materialize as well. And that goes along with just what I would consider in most cases sort of a probably reduced kill from historical terms, but also sort of hunter selectivity as well. So Southern Michigan, what can you say about Southern Michigan? It's really mild winters, great habitat. We've got deer all over the place. Like, if you're a hunter in southern Michigan, most of our harvest, over 50% of our harvest, comes out of southern Michigan alone. That's going to continue to dominate, you know, the numbers game and the headlines in terms of total harvest. The northern lower, last year, our number of hunters we had decline was about 5% from 2020, which was expected because 2020 we saw a lot more participation. But the number of antlered deer we saw harvested in the northern lower last year increased over 2020 by about 20%. So that just sort of tells you how that population is trending when you are taking more antler deer, which is a really good sort of proxy for how populations are growing, mm-hmm. and you have 5% fewer hunters. So I'm expecting, you know, again, really good numbers throughout most of the northern lower this year. Hunters should have some pretty good success in those areas. And then the UP is kind of what it is. You know, we've got some places with really good deer numbers, like that south central part in like Menominee and Delta County areas. And then as you get sort of in the extreme western part and further up north, you know, deer numbers can be a little bit sparse. Actually, deer numbers are trending a little bit downward in the eastern part of the UP as well. So a lot of success there depends on where you're hunting. I will say that we didn't see nearly as much winter mortality last year as we thought we might see because of the severe winter and prolonged winter up there. But the deer seem to come out of it pretty good. So there's hope that it'll be as good, if not a little bit better than last year.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. You know, Chad Stewart, Michigan DNR, is joining us here on the Conquest, hotline. And getting a kind of a look, forward as to what we can expect for deer. And I think, Chad, too, with the number of antler deer and more mature bucks, mature does that we are taking throughout the course of, you know, the past few years, is management has really, has really gotten into our mindset a little bit more. And look, I do not look down on what anybody tags. Okay. You do what you do and, you know, fill the freezer. God bless. You can't eat antlers, as they say. But those of us with time and have the opportunity to do it, there is a lot more selection going on. And I'm seeing it firsthand by the size of the deer that we're seeing. I mean, not only in southern Michigan, but other places.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Especially as some of the hunters, you know, start aging a little bit more, you know, the thrill of shooting a spike or a 4-point buck, you know, isn't quite what it used to be because, you know, maybe they've taken 20 or 30 bucks in their lifetime. You know, it's just, you know, they want something a little bit bigger and maybe they have more time to do that. But, you know, to your point, I think that's what's great about hunting is that everybody kind of gets into it and does it for their own, you know, satisfaction and reasons. And there's different things that sort of excite hunters in different ways. You know, some people are going out just to put venison in the freezer or just shoot any buck, and other ones are looking for a 3.5 or 4.5-year-old buck. You know, some hunters are going out, you know, for solitude. Some hunters are going out because their friends and family do it. So, I think that's the thing in the piece of hunting that is really sort of overlooked, how different we all are, yet we're all doing the same thing. We all might be doing it for a different reason, and mm-hmm. and that's okay, and that should be celebrated because everybody else is taking something different from it than maybe what you are. But you know, celebrating those differences, I think, is really important for us to do as hunters, rather than sort of dividing ourselves by those differences.
No, I agree, you know, and as I am out a lot, hitting, you know, different areas, looking for different things and a different business that I do, you know, you come across these old barns, you know, and there's like 15, 20 racks, and they're all like, you know, year and a half, 2.5-year old deer that the farmer's taken. But over time, as they progress in their range, I've noticed that the antlers are getting bigger and bigger, and I really think that becomes, like you said, a bit of being more selective with the quantity you've taken versus, you know, the quality. The quality has increased. And with our youth hunters, this is the one thing that gets me, is youth hunters have this opportunity to hunt like the prime time to get out for deer, because it's like a big surprise party for them. And a lot of them, which hopefully I hope they're doing their own shooting, are getting phenomenal bucks. And I don't want that to discourage them down the road as they get older and start hunting in a more populated and a busier time of the season, because they won't have that youth hunt anymore, that things are very different. if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's often been, I think, one of the criticisms of the youth hunt, that, you know, they're almost getting a unrealistic advantage compared to what they might have once they age out of that time frame. You know, from our standpoint, you know, we just want hunters to, especially youth hunters, to go out and be successful. And we really leave it up to the mentor, you know, whoever the youth hunter is hunting with, sure, to sort of make the decision on what, you know, that individual, you know, can or should be shooting that day. And we think that's the best way to go about doing it, because, you know, that's who should be sort of guiding and mentoring that individual.
Absolutely.
For that hunt for the next couple of years.
All right. Chad Stewart, thank you so much for your time here on Wild Michigan, man. Looking forward to that. Downloading the app. Download the new app for Michigan DNR and be a part of the solution when you check your deer. And Chad, thanks so much. It's Wild Michigan.
I have always been a I can do it kind of girl. This is Johnny Erickson Tata. And even when I was little, they tell me my first words were knee do. The first time I rode a bike, I just knew I was balancing it all by myself. But then I noticed that my father was running alongside with his hand on the back fender. I protested, Daddy, let me do it. Don't help me. Let me do it. Well, I got my way and went crashing into the sidewalk with my bike. But my independence ended when I was 17. That's when I broke my neck diving into the Chesapeake Bay, which resulted in quadriplegia. That was over 40 years ago. And if there's one thing I have had to learn as a quadriplegic, it's to ask for help and then to receive that help graciously. Hey, it's okay to ask for help. It's one way of encouraging others to get close and learn how to serve. If you need help, ask from disabilitycampaign.org.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez hanging out with you. Very happy to have you here. Thanks to Chad Stewart from the Michigan DNR to give us some info and some great content about the new mandatory deer check for Michigan. Again, download the app. It's so easy. You keep your fishing, your hunting licenses on there. I mean, you got your phone with you all the time. Don't tell me you're not looking at it in the tree stand, okay? Don't tell me you're not, because I know you are. So why not download the app, make things easy, or help somebody that may need a little help with that? Okay, this is a great thing for all of us going forward. And again, we reported it first here back a couple of months ago about the mandatory deer check-in here in Michigan. We are being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street, 127 in Mason, and on the Conquest Sense hotline, Mr. Tom Nelson, legend of the outdoors, Hall of Fame inductee 2022. Tom, you know damn well I wasn't going to skip that.
Duran, thank you. I mean, it's a very humbling event to be nominated, let alone inducted. So, but there's many, many more individuals way more qualified to be, you know, sitting in amongst that group of Hall of Fame members than myself. But I'm very blessed, and I'm thankful for it. And as I said, I'm humbled from the whole experience.
Well, Tom, you have had a lifetime dedicated to archery and the industry itself. I mean, from your early days as a youth in Grand Ledge or the world-renowned Anderson Archery, you know, guidance from Fred Bear himself, and you have taken, you have taught, you have taught and educated so many. Via, you know, personal appearances, the American Archer television show, here on this show. Hell, I'm, you know, a student of the Tom Nelson School of Archery myself, if you will. But it is so well deserved, not only from me personally, but I think so many that know you. And it's an honor for me to know you and Michael Waddell, who was inducted along with some other great folks. But man, I mean, did it kind of come, you know, I know damn well, I know you, that it still came as a surprise to you no matter what.
Honestly, it did. I mean, from the original phone call last winter that I had been nominated, and they don't give you a lot of info. They let you know you've been nominated, and if you are voted in and selected, that you have to show up at Bass Pro Shop headquarters in Springfield, Missouri, in August. And I thought, you know, that's great. You know, I'm nominated, but I honestly never figured I would be voted in. And so when I got that phone call this summer, I was, to be honest with you, stunned. And that my wife goes, you don't even seem overly excited. I said, well, I'm just trying to wrap my head around this whole thing. I said, I don't really feel deserving of it, but I'm very honored just the same. So yes, I was caught a little bit off guard, but again, I'd be lying to say I wasn't very pleased.
You know, Tom, I mean, that's a fraternity that is second to none in my world, because it's, you know, it gives hope to everyone. Okay, this is not being a major multi-million dollar athlete or being, you know, a musician that's, you know, admired by millions around the world. This is something that you've taken your passion for. You've been your life's work, essentially. And I know to you it doesn't feel like work a lot of times. And I know how shocked you were, because I know you. But it's so cool to see that your legacy will be there forever.
That's true. And one thing I like about this Legends of the Outdoors Hall of Fame, they don't look at your accomplishments as far as how many big deer you've taken or how many animals you have in the record books or and such. You know, it's made up of hunters, fishermen, conservationists, outdoor writers. I mean, just all kinds of people from across the outdoor world, you know, as far as the industry wise, along with just accomplished writers and such. So it's on what you've done as far as what you've given back to the sport. And I've always been a big believer in giving back, you know, and I'm very passionate about archery. I like teaching it, coaching, introducing people to it, into bow hunting. And it's been my life.
Man, that's just, it's got to be so cool, though. You know, I've done a lot of things that I'm very passionate about and been very fortunate to do. You know, look, almost 30 years in radio, which all started by complete accident. So many odd things, you know, that have made up this job that brought us together 16, you know, years ago. And it's been, you know, I was thinking this morning that because of this job, I've been able to accomplish in that 16 years what it takes a lifetime for a lot of other people to do because of it and the people we've met, yourself included.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, all my circle of friends, the people I hang out with, the people I like to hang out with, they're all outdoorsmen and women that are also passionate about the sport, and to me it's a great circle of friends to have, and you know, people that care. And you know, the folks I like and gravitate towards aren't, again, the people that pound their chest and talk about what they've done and the animals they've taken or whatever. It's just the everyday sportsmen and women that fly under the radar that are out there because of their love for the sport.
Yeah, you know what? It's true, too, because, like I said, I've had the opportunity to meet you and Michael. And I'll guarantee the other people inducted are all there for the same reasons. You know, what they've given to the sport much more than what they've taken.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I was down there, I sat around and chatted, you know, with, like, Harold Knight. And, of course, Michael was down there, Wade Middleton, and a lot of Cuz Strickland, you know, a lot of the celebrities in the outdoor world, and along with dozens of noted fishermen from, you know, across the nation. And it was everybody was the same way. You know, they were just friendly and talkative and were honored to be there. And it was really neat. I mean, again, everyone inducted and past inductees, they're all individuals that, again, aren't braggarts and, you know, again, pounding on their chest, talking about their accolades, things that they've done and such. Everybody was a pretty much, in my opinion, because I know and have known many of them for years, are just good, down-to-earth individuals like you, Duran, just good people. And that's what the one of the coolest things about our sport, about outdoorsmen and women. We're not in it for the notoriety. We're in it because we love it. Again, we're passionate about it. I use that term passionate a lot, but I can't think of a better way to describe, you know, how we feel about the sport, whether mm-hmm. it's fishing, hunting, et cetera.
Yeah, no, it's look, man, and I get it. Tom Nelson is our guest here on Wild Michigan. He is the host of the American Archer on the Outdoor Channel, 20-plus years. This year inducted into the Legend of Bass Pro Shops Legends of the Outdoors Hall of Fame. And, man, I tell you what, it's look, I was there when you were, you know, bow hunter of the year for the Michigan bow hunters, and I got word of this, and I was not surprised, to say the least. But and for everything that you've done for this show and myself personally and my family, I thank you, Tom. It's just, you know, a great honor to call you friend. And you know, we're gonna put all of this aside here momentarily, because I know you want to do that, and we'll talk about hunting.
<Thank you.
laughs> I'm putting you on
Much
the spot, brother.
Topic.
Yeah. Well, you know better than that, but I know you well enough. So we'll talk about some hunting, what you got coming up, and other great stuff here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns. Now, next week, listen closely. Biggest auction ever at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 Mason. Over 2,000 items will be up for auction. So I suggest you get online, notjustguns.com, get yourself situated, learn the page a little bit, and get ready for that auction, because there's going to be a lot of great stuff. Not just firearms, but I mean ammunition, everyday carry stuff, knives, lots of firearms. And wherever you're hearing me, they can get the firearm or your whatever you purchase online to you. Okay, they'll do the paperwork. They make sure it gets to an FFL dealer in your area, and you will get your firearm or whatever it is that you purchase. Notjustguns.com. 2,000 items plus in the next auction coming up, so make sure you get in on that. Now, back to our good friend Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer. This is almost fall. We're at fall-ish right now. Leaves are starting to turn color, and this is where Tom gets all bristly and excited about getting out, because you've got some hunts planned coming up very soon. One of them I've had the opportunity to do here in Michigan, but this is elk hunting out west, which is a whole nother world.
Yeah, it's still elk hunting, but it is a little bit different, both physical and, you know, the techniques that you use. But I'm getting ready basically every day and get me ready, whether it's shooting my bow or hiking or going for my daily run, to try to get myself prepared, which I always do. But I'm heading to Montana the end of this month for a 7-day elk hunt. And I usually every year for the past 35 years have made some sort of elk hunt, whether it's been in Colorado, Wyoming, Idaho, New Mexico. But the last few years I've been traveling to Montana and hunting with a good friend out there, and I'm ready to go. I'm already, as I mentioned to you earlier, Duran, off the air, I'm all giddy. I'm ready to go. I love elk hunting out west in the fall.
Now, what kind of bow are you shooting now? Because I know sponsorships change from time to time, and I wasn't exactly sure who you're with this time.
The last couple of years, we've been sponsored by a Michigan company, Dart and Archery.
Oh, good.
And I shoot a Dart and Spectra, a beautiful bow. It's fabulous bow. I could go on and on about it, but it's not overly heavy. It's a perfect weight. It's very smooth to draw, super quiet, very accurate. And hopefully, it's got an elk ready to be notched into the handle. I mean, it's, again, I'm pretty excited about the whole thing. Elk hunting, because of the fact, unlike deer hunting here in Michigan, where you have to be ultra quiet, sitting still, sitting in your stand, get to move around and call and engage with, you know, interact with the animal. And it's a physical hunt, and I like that aspect of it, you know, hiking up and down the mountains. It's not for an out-of-shape individual at all. You need to be in relatively good shape. I've seen more guys, Grant, on elk hunts throw in the towel after day 3 or 4 just because physically they were drained.
Right. No, I get it, man. I've had the pleasure of hunting out in Wyoming. That was a whole different thing. We were hunting antelope. But it's such a different world out there. I mean, there are so many different factors with wildlife and things you need to watch out for. I mean, look, we have rattlesnakes. Different story. That, you know, Montana, Wyoming, places like that, the terrain is very different than here. And it makes us look really flat compared to out there.
Oh, absolutely. Big difference. Much tougher terrain. I mean, it'll drain you in an hour if you're not prepared for it. But, yeah, you know, it's relatively easy walking here, but out there. And the elevation, you know, you forget about that, too. You get yourself in good shape. But I don't care how good a shape you're in, how much you work out. Just getting out here with that thinner air at a higher elevation. I mean, mm-hmm. Camp at 7,000 feet and hunt up from there every day. So it's, you know, you're sucking air constantly, and you feel like, geez, I can't catch my breath. Well, there's a reason.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, altitude, again, like you mentioned, it's a whole other thing. Speaking with Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer television show on the Outdoor Channel. Tom, I know your all-time favorite animal to hunt is probably bear. And what do you have lined up for the fall? I mean, because this is like bear time right now.
Yep. You know, I've been, like a lot of other Michigan hunters, I've been accumulating my preference points here in Michigan. I was fortunate about 7 years ago, I believe it is now, 6 or 7 years ago, to draw a Michigan tag. And I shot a real nice black bear here in Michigan. And I'm at the point now where I secured enough points where I should draw my permit next year, not anywhere I want, but in the area that I want. And so this year, I'm not doing any fall bear hunts, but hopefully next year. I did hunt in Saskatchewan back in June for a week and saw dozens of bears there, and that was a great hunt. But I'm gonna be chasing whitetails in and out of some different states here in Michigan and all that fun stuff, and pig hunts and things like that. I drew a Kansas tag for whitetails. I'm going to South Dakota for whitetails, Texas, North Dakota, Mississippi. So I'm going to follow the seasons, follow the weather, and get after it like I do every fall. But I'm most excited, Duran, of everything. Every place I go, I'd still rather hunt right here in Michigan. Michigan's still my favorite place to be. I mean, I'm ready for October 1st.
Yeah, me too. I've been out. As a matter of fact, I had turkeys. I had some hens with a few of the little ones. Well, not real little, but they're quite, you know, advanced right now. Out in my backyard, I'm like, ooh, fall turkeys looking really good right now.
That's right.
And I've had lots of whitetails out back. So, you know, seeing it full time is really kind of nice, and really kind of gets me going. And it's a damn good thing I don't have a pond in my backyard, because I'd get nothing done.
I can appreciate that. You know, and you say get nothing because there's lots to have, you know, be doing right now if you haven't, you know, from scouting, hanging stands, clearing shooting lanes, airing out your clothes, washing last year's camo. I mean, I'm pretty well. I mean, honestly, Duran, if season opened tomorrow, I'm ready to go. I've already hung my stands, cleared shooting lanes, cleared paths in and out, went through my camo clothes. They're all in my scent-proof tub. I'm ready to rock. And I think the savvy hunters have gotten it done. But if you haven't, it's definitely not too late. You know, get out there and don't wait until the day before.
No, definitely not. I mean, we preach that all the time. But, you know, we want people to get out and, you know, and maybe if you haven't done so, get those trail cameras out there and make sure that you've got, like, your Evercalm sense and a stick from our friends over at Conquest, you know, to the Curiosity scent to cover your scent and maybe get you out there a little bit closer to the deer this coming fall.
Absolutely. And, you know, and when you talk about Evercom and VS1, you know, it's never too early to start mock scrapes. I will tell you, I've got probably 12 different mock scrapes that I've made this fall already, and several of them have been taken over. I'm getting some great photos off of them with my trail cameras. It's just another way. I mean, I usually try to put a mock scrape or two around my existing stands, and I've got some that I've created years ago that every year are taken over almost immediately by bucks and such. But a big part of it's using the correct scent, and Evercom with combination of VS1, depending on the time of year, is a killer. It's a great way to start your scrapes.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And they've done such a good job. And there's a new product I can't wait to talk about, but we got to get Doug on here to do it. And I know you know what it is. So it's like, oh, I want to talk. And I've known about this for like 2 months now. But and for me to keep a secret like that, it's very difficult, especially on this show.
You're doing very good, Duran.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate that. But, man, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to seeing some new pictures and all the great things, all the great stories that you have coming up. And it's just going to be another banner year for us to be watching the American Archer, because it's what year are you in now, Tom? And I love doing this to you because it was so
26. This is our 26th year on the air. 26 years.
Oh, my gosh. I think you were just hitting 10 way back when we started this.
But when we met. Yeah.
And that's,
I shouldn't say when we met, but when we started. You started the radio show. I already knew you beforehand, but yeah, hard to believe. It shows how time flies. I still remember standing in your parking lot at the radio station talking after that first show, and you had no idea where it was going to go, how it was going to explode from there.
Or how long we would last. I mean, I figured we'd week, 2 weeks, I'll be good. 16 years? Hell, who knew? But thank you so much, Tom. Appreciate you joining us. Thanks to our friends at Conquest Scents. And don't forget, notjustguns.com. Over 2,000 items going to hit the auction block next week. Okay? We'll put it up on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Thanks to Chad Stewart from the Michigan DNR. And especially thank you for your time and your patience listening to the show, man. It's been a great run. We're still going. More coming your way. We're going to talk to the tick dude, the tick terminator, in the next hour of the show here in Wild Michigan.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism.
Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.